Now on The Pulse, from shift work and manufacturing to new technologies and opportunities. Let's head to the Philadelphia Navy Yard, where health and science play an important role in the site's second act. Zach Seward has that story.
The Navy Yard is basically an island. It's at the very bottom of Broad Street, and it's roughly the size of Center City. In its day, huge Navy ships were built here and repaired here too. It played a key role in naval history, but it's also a place that employed thousands and thousands of civilian workers. I talked to more than one person who said it was like a city within a city. It had a grocery store, a bowling alley, you name it. And then it was shut down.
Command Master Chief, haul down the Admiral's flag.
Haul down the Admiral's flag. Bandmaster, sound off.
So this was all nothing. There was no buildings, no driveways, no anything.
I'm driving around with Terry Gillen. She's the director of federal affairs for the city of Philadelphia these days. But back in 1992, she was doing economic development for Mayor Ed Rendell. That's when she first started working on the Navy Yard.
We got this area historically certified. That was a big decision because back in the 90s, people did not want old buildings. Old buildings are expensive to renovate. And a lot of people thought we should just tear them down.
Now, 1992 was just 1 year after the nation's Base Realignment and Closure Commission, or BRAC, decided to shut down the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard. It was one of dozens of military facilities that shared the same fate. And when the Navy left 4 years later, 10,000 jobs, a full 1% of Philadelphia's workforce, disappeared. In that void, a plan slowly began taking shape. The idea was to sketch out a 20-year roadmap that would bring jobs back to the Navy Yard and turn it into a new kind of economic engine.
Putting a plan together that said we're going to create 10,000 jobs was an act of tremendous bravery and some would say craziness.
It started with commercial shipbuilding and then industry. Companies began moving in. By the mid-2000s, Urban Outfitters had fixed up a handful of buildings, creating a stylish business campus. Startups began renting old officers' quarters. As we speak, pharmaceutical giant GlaxoSmithKline is finishing up its brand new North American headquarters.
So, put yourself where you were in 1992, fast forward 20 years. Does this look like what you had imagined?
Yes, it does. It looks exactly like what we had imagined.
Except for one thing.
I don't think we would have imagined that energy would be as big an industry as it has become.
Especially since the Navy Yard's beat-up old buildings have actually become a selling point.
So we're walking in to a building that has had its utilities shut off since it closed in 1996.
That's Stephen DiBartolo.
So you'll get a nice musty smell as you go in after you.
And this is the future site of the Energy Efficient Buildings Hub. When the Navy was here, it was a rec center.
So this is the pool space. You can kind of hear it.
Yeah, it'll be research and collaborative workspaces are the two main functions of the building.
It's called the EEB Hub, and it's funded by a $130 million grant, mainly from the U.S. Department of Energy. It's a project led by Penn State, with the goal of reducing the amount of energy wasted by big buildings. DiBartolo says the former rec center will become a living laboratory, a model for how landlords should retrofit their buildings.
So we want to make it where it's affordable, where it's practical, and the process that we use can be repeated by others. So this is to demonstrate how to do it.
The new hub should be finished by the beginning of 2014.
Okay, so I'm Laurie Actman. I'm the deputy director of the Energy Efficient Buildings Hub.
Actman says locating at the Navy Yard was one of the key reasons Penn State won the Energy Department grant in the first place. She says the building sector is an industry that tends to shy away from risk, especially unproven technology. And yet buildings use 40% of the nation's energy. So the ability to test out efficiency techniques with old buildings at the Navy Yard was a huge opportunity.
And now we're trying to reposition, leveraging all of that history, towards a new sector in terms of energy innovation. And, you know, that's kind of what the Philadelphia story is all about, making the past an asset for the future.
That ethos even extends to some of the employees.
I am an engineer, but I'm a mechanical engineer. In the Navy terms, I was a pump kicker, so to speak.
Bob Gorgone is pretty much a Navy Yard lifer. He first started working here in 1973. Nowadays, he's the Navy Yard's Director of Energy and Sustainability.
We'll be able to have a place that we can try out that technology. And the idea is, if the technology is successful and it works, they're going to want to commercialize that technology. And we will have the space and the location to have to allow them to do that.
The hope is that science leads to jobs. That's where Will Agate comes in. He's in charge of running the Navy Yard as a vice president at the Philadelphia Industrial Development Corporation.
We are probably one of the preeminent advanced energy centers in the country at this point in time.
Agate says the Navy Yard is many things to many people. And ultimately, the recent success around science and energy is just a means to an end. The goal is getting enough people down at the Navy Yard to be a city within a city again. And they seem to be getting closer.
Yes, we do like to think of this as kind of being the tipping point. And now we're on to, I like to refer to it as the second act of the whole play for the Navy Yard.
That's Will Agate, and the sentiment he's expressing here is shared by a lot of people at the Navy Yard, that after 20 years of trying to get this place up and running, things are finally starting to click into place.
Zach, has that number that you quoted earlier, 10,000 jobs, has that been accomplished?
Well, that's the thing. They're right on the cusp of this 10,000 number. That GlaxoSmithKline headquarters that I mentioned, when everyone moves into that building from GSK, that will put them over that 10,000 mark. So they're really excited about this moment as, again, being that tipping point.
Okay.
And if you want to check it out, we got a bunch of pictures of the place down at newsworks.org that are pretty cool.
All right. Thank you so much, Zach.
Thank you.
Coming up next on The Pulse, academics are...